Amen.
Amen.
Talk about that later. We're in the middle of our big series. We're talking about being big this month for the next couple of Sundays. And when we talk about big, we're talking about beyond imagination and goals. Actually, today's message is inspired by the church. They asked me to teach about something, and I'm going to bring Bible study to the church today. Because I feel like you can't be big when small got you. And understanding that last week we talked about it exceedingly abundantly, above all we can ask or think. But that was with God, so I want to talk about today. We'll talk about being big with God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Malachi 3. Malachi 3. Malachi 3, verses 6 through 12. Malachi 3. Malachi 3. Verses 6 through 12. If you find Matthew, go back one book. If you in Corinthians, you went too far. If you're in Psalms, you ain't went far enough. Malachi 3, verses 6 through 12. You have it, say amen.
Amen.
I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. It says, the Lord do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Verse 8, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you ask, how are we robbing you in tithes and offerings? You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me. Somebody say, test me. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. I'm gonna stop right there. I want to talk about being big with God. Being B-I-G. You may have your seat. Being big. Beyond imagination and goals. How would you talk about that, talking about? We've heard this all of our childhood, right at the time when they were taking up tithes and offerings. Somebody would stand up and quote out of the King James translation, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. We knew how to quote that, but as soon as we learned how to quote many other scriptures of the Bible. But I wanna approach this text from a different point of view, not just about money. Not just about stuff, not just about the anger of God, because if you really catch it only at verse 8, you miss the context of what God is talking about. What we realize is that dealing with this big life of God, it's a complex situation. Malachi is a strange book. The book of Malachi is strange because it's a dialogue between the people of God and God. And they're arguing with God because what they thought ain't happened. Somebody gonna catch that. They're discussing with God their dissatisfaction about what they thought the promises of God was going to yield them. They thought that by now we'd have all of these great things, that we would be reigning in the New Jerusalem. We would be
Everything would be all fine by now. And I know they're not the only ones. There's two or three of us in here that feel like we signed up for it. We signed up for the great entrance into the city of Jerusalem, that everything was going to be all right. We came to church. We did what they said we was going to do. We stood when we were supposed to stand. We waved our hands. We were supposed to wave our hands. We clapped when they told us to clap. Yeah. But the expectation was that there was going to be an elevation. And the elevation that I got really wasn't the one that I was planning on getting. And what the book of Malachi is back and forth about 6 to 7 times talking about is that they got mad at God. God told them why they shouldn't be mad at him and what he did in the first place.
Yeah.
God starts off. It's one of the very few times in the Bible. I believe it's one of the only 2 or 3 times that God literally directly tells them that I love you. Through other things, through other situations, through other stuff, he tells them that his love is shown. But in Malachi, it's one of the few times of the Bible that he says, hey, look, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he was trying to figure out why everything was going wrong, why everything was going. And you ever had somebody that loved you, but loved you enough to let you still be you? Y'all don't want to talk with me this morning. See, we got tight because y'all thought I was just coming to talk about money, but that ain't where I'm at. I came to talk about your relationship with God got jacked up because there was some stuff that got between you and him.
Come on, that's right.
That anything that puts between you and your relationship with God is sin.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Anything that deters you from getting close to God is a sin. How do you know that? Because it's hard to murder somebody and got love in your heart.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
No, you have to have pathological mental issues if you're going to murder somebody at 7 and then show up here at 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, they're at the house dead and you just left them there and came in talking about, I got to get to the church.
Yeah,
something not right. No, that's mental illness. Because there's some stuff that can stop you. That's some stuff. Because see, it's some people in here that you've been so mad that you wanted to take them out. Mm-hmm. But the love you had for them held you back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, my mama taught me when I was young, the whooping that you deserve, you can't handle.
Yeah, you can't handle.
But her love for me is what showed her the difference between what I deserve and what I could have.
See, I'm
all in this book because we've always misconstrued this to only be about money. But it is partially about money. But it ain't just about money. It's about the stuff you love that you put in between you and God. Because you say, God, I love you, but I don't know giving you all of that.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to be 10 toes in. We don't want to be all in with God. We want to flirt with him. We don't want to. No, it's all fun and games until you're in a situation. It was cute when you was going out to dinner, but when they say it's time to pay for the meal, then it's time that we got to have a conversation because, God, I said I loved you, but I ain't really love.
Yeah.
We ain't deep.
Yeah.
We ain't there yet. We ain't. I said I wasn't going as hard. See, you aren't close. Watch this. The problem is that most of us, we aren't close with God because you haven't kept the basic things he commanded us to do. Why when I pray, don't feel like it lead a wrong? Because are you asking God to do something for you that you wouldn't do for somebody else if you could?
That's good.
You asking God to forgive all of your sins, but you have an unforgiveness in your own heart. Yeah, this ain't the normal. Come back next Sunday. We'll be excited. But see, you can't be big until you fight some challenges.
Yeah.
And you can't get beyond your imagination and goals if you're not willing to struggle with the stuff that you're dealing with in your own personal life because you've put aside a stuff in your life that you said you're not going to let God touch that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God, I want you to deliver me from this stuff, but don't look.
Yeah.
Don't look over here because I got some stuff. I'm still toying with, I'm still playing with, I'm not even going to pray about this stuff. But watch this. I want you to deliver me from this stuff and cover me for this stuff. But then I want you to elevate me as if all of this has been gone. Says it right here. The Lord says, I do not change. Watch this. Verse 6. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. What does that mean? I would have took you out if I could have. But the word I spoke over your ancestors, Okay, let me say it in 2020. Some of the stuff that you didn't live through is because somebody before you prayed. Come on, somebody. Someone said you had you on their mind to pray. For you, it ain't your prayers. You wasn't smart enough to pray some of the stuff that you've been through, the hell that you've been through, some of the places that you've been that you ain't even know that you were smart enough to ask God to do for you. But God said, I didn't destroy you, not because you didn't deserve it, but because I told your mama I'd keep it. I'm being big with God. See, some of us, watch this, are still living on prayers when the sound of the prayer is gone. The promise of the prayer has yet remained. That God says, I would have took you out, but I told somebody before you I would make you great. See, that's why I'm being with God, because that's some stuff that me and him talked about that he told me that I kept you when you were crazy. No, I kept you when you were crazy, where you thought everybody knew. Only the small group of people that was in your circle knew. There's a whole group of people that I'm going to reintroduce. Come on, somebody.
Talk about it.
What he said, let me reintroduce myself. See, the problem with most of us is that we have a misconception about who owns the stuff that we're dealing with. Well, it's my house, my car. You go get a new car, you control who eat in your car, what they do in your car, what they drink in your car, where they go in your car, don't talk my car to these places. I got to make sure I got to take my car, got to take care of my stuff, my people, my car, my stuff, my house. You ain't going to eat in my house. You don't take it in your room. Eat that right here in my house. But miss two or three notes and watch the bank remind you who house. No, you go through too many hard times and let that cardinal wrap up and try to figure out what's really going on, because there's some stuff in your life that you've been through, there's some people that you've got around you that every now and then some life stuff will show you whose stuff it really really is. You ever had somebody inform you that some stuff you thought was yours really wasn't? Y'all together, y'all stay together, y'all go together, y'all dating, y'all in love, and then you find out they with somebody else, and you have to remember every now and then, hey, if they with you, then they must not be mine. See, part of the problem is we have an issue with ownership. Well, whose stuff is it anyway? Well, I can't get mad, Joe, when he start taking stuff, because it ain't my stuff. Job, after a hell of a day, says, naked, I came in the world. That's beginning. Naked, I'ma leave. That's the end. But what happens in the middle? He helps up that. He said that the Lord gave. Which means what? That anything that I required had to be allowed in his allowance. Which meant that he loaned it to me. But then when the Lord takes away, which means that anything that the devil came and got, he was on assignment from the Lord, which means that he was in proximity to be able to take whatever he took. But I can't be mad because it wasn't my stuff. Watch this, because when I get to the Lord takes, I got to remember that he gave. If he gave it to me, then it wasn't mine. He gave it to me. Okay, Psalm says this in Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. What that means, that is all his stuff. Anyway, it's not mine. So how can I be mad when he asked me to give him back part of what he already gave to me? Tithing is not just about stuff, but it is about stuff. Tithing ain't just about money, but it is about money. Offering ain't just about stuff, but it is about stuff. Offering just ain't about money, but it is about money. You can tithe. Watch this. You're supposed to tithe. I can say you can. You're supposed to tithe with your time and your money. Three areas you give your time: time, talent, and treasure. It means that your time and 10% of your time you're supposed to give to God. Numerically, you're supposed to at least give God two hours and 40 minutes a day to God, just for God. We can't give him 10 minutes for prayer.
Come on, Jesus.
No, you can't stop and pray, because you're going to wait till you go to sleep when you halfway sleep. And you still going to pray until your sleep. You don't know if you said amen or not. You just... Only time you really read your Bible, is when you real tired and can't get sleep, mm-hmm. and you're going to just open it up. And just,
yeah, so you can go to sleep.
You can't give him 7 minutes of your day, but he really requires 10%. You can't give him a day of the week, because you got to be in here by 10, but you got to be out by a certain.
Yeah, got to be. It's on.
And we better not say Bible study. Because then you really invade my
space. Come on.
Wow,
this is a good mic I got. Because we put, not, watch this, we don't just put limits on what he does, we put limits on what we're willing to do.
Yeah.
Wow. Watch this. Okay, let me say it like this. If you, well, this is a good one, I'm going to put this on Facebook. If you won't give him credit, you sure ain't going to give him cash.
Come on.
But that came to me right there while I was standing right here. Because if he's done some stuff for you, but you won't give him credit, he sure know you ain't going to give him cash. I ain't mad at you for what you want to do. I know what God has done for me. Mm-hmm. So it's some stuff that he's given me. Watch this, because everything I have is his.
Yes.
How you know? Because if they want to, everybody around me can leave.
Oh, Lord. Mm-hmm.
All the stuff around me that I want, that I've been praying for, can just walk smooth out the door.
Yeah.
And it ain't. I have no control over it. I have no will over it. I have no way to stop it from happening. I could have not woke up this morning and everything would have just kept on going. Y'all would have still showed up this morning. Might have been a real sad service. Everybody might have been crying on it. But guess what? This is not about me.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. No, a friend of mine said this, and I was at a funeral, and another preacher was saying he was looking for a job. An older preacher, real old wise man, said something. I thought it was pretty morbid, but it was true. He said, man, I'm looking for a job. I can't find a job. I've been looking for a job. I don't know who hiring everybody I've talked to. He said, look, get the newspaper. He said, oh, I've been in the classified. He said, no, wrong section. Go to the obituaries. Whoever you see in that, they hiring. No, because they ain't coming to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
y'all ain't gonna hear that. Because at the end of the day, life goes on. Your world revolves around you, but everybody else, go. Oh, we were sad to lose. Yeah, but you wake up the next day and life goes. Because if you want to be big with God, you have to make investments and stuff that will take you to the other side. Because some stuff you're dealing with today, it won't keep you past tomorrow. It's people you'll invest yourself in, your time, your energy, your talent, and if it ain't in God, they'll walk out.
Come on.
I tell people all the time, if I don't take the reward from them coming in, then I don't want to take the rebuke when they leave.
Hold
on. Church was good today. I gave it to God.
Yeah.
Pastor really needed to take some more time to preach. I gave it to God. I wasn't helping you no way. We just... You ever had somebody thank you for doing something you would have done anyway? No, I like preaching. I'm going to preach whether you hear
or not.
Room full of people or me and two other folks. Mm-hmm. Just
say that.
Yes.
Because guess what? What's in me got to come out.
Amen.
The three things. I'm through. Three things. I'm going to get out y'all way. Three things. The first thing we see in this text is our distance. Our distance. We see our distance. We see the fact that we've had distance from God. They said it right here. They said, God says, verse 7, ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from me. From my decrees and not kept them, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how can we return? That's some different. You don't ask how I can come back home if you can get in the house. Anybody had to try to figure out what God had when? No, you ever tried to knock on God's door where you thought he was at already and he just wasn't answering, and you trying to figure out God where you go, and he said, no, I've been where I've been, you left. No, I didn't get in the car, I didn't go nowhere, I didn't move across country, I'm right where I've been. You said that you needed to go do something else. You see, people get super spiritual when they change churches. They, you know, I'll move the place.
Oh, Lord.
You know, God was leading me in a new direction. Well, but did you hear from him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, because if you didn't hear from him to leave, you sure ain't going to hear from him where to go.
Well,
I heard the voice say, go here. Because see, if you didn't leave right, watch this. You might not like me, but I did it for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the song says, just for me. Mm-hmm. Jesus came and did it. Just
for me.
See, it ain't about you. You ain't got to like what I'm going through. But where I'm at, I'm happy with who I am and where I am. Because I know that, watch this, where I am, I hear from God.
Yeah.
And I'm here because I don't want that distance. I keep quoting songs. I got to do better. Your body's here with me.
Oh,
but your mind. See, watch this. You get distance from God when you start stopping following his decrees. What is his decrees? He had 10 of them. 10, they're called decrees. One translation called commandments, and the other. He's literally saying that you got distance from me when you stop doing what I asked you to do. It's just like a parent with his child in the house. It's only so long they're going to not do what you tell them to do before you got to have some distance between me and you.
Yeah.
Because in every kingdom, there can only be one person on the throne.
Right.
Whether male or female, somebody got to sit on the throne. There ain't going to be one queen or king in this castle.
Yeah.
You can't sit in my spot. Because watch this. This throne has cost me some stuff. Mm-hmm.
You're right about it.
You're going to respect me. Respect you. See, sometimes we get this misunderstanding because you get so comfortable with the stuff. You start thinking that it's your stuff. My son's 10 years old, and it blessed me because I was doing something. I walked in his room and asked him something, and he was playing his game on the other side of the room. And I walked out of the room, and he hollered for my name. He said, "Daddy," I said, "Yes." "Can you close my door?" You don't have a door. I kept on walking as if he wasn't. And he hollered. Watch this. He hollered the right words, but with the wrong expectation. "Daddy, please." Son, it still ain't your door. Your attitude is right, but your understanding is bad. Every door in here is mine. I take that joke off the hinges. Shut the lights off in all of your room. You better ask somebody who I am. This ain't your stuff.
Amen. Yeah.
And in the middle of me being indignant, I thought about how God feel when I tell him that I don't feel like going today. I'm tired. I've been tired all week. I've been sick. I really don't feel like going. He said, "And you going to wake up and breathe my air and tell me you don't feel like doing what I can." I woke up late, but it's all right. I'm going to be that. Why? Because I don't want to get distance. I want to get distance. Every time we have, everything we have is his, but the distance becomes when we move.
Oh, God.
Love is displayed so he can see us in the short term. He can, you know, God every now and then just show you he love you just so you can love on him every now and then. You ever had God bless you with something you knew you didn't deserve, didn't warrant, you didn't have it in mind, didn't want to understand what's going on, but he just rained down some stuff on you. Mm-hmm. You ain't know what was happening. You ain't seen nothing coming. But you just, let me tell you what that is. You went to sleep sad, but all of a sudden woke up with a smile on your face. Ain't nothing changed about the situation you went to sleep sad about. You woke up, same situation, looking at you. But you just, something in you said, it's going to be all right. No, you were stressed out, worried, and came to church, and I said, "You know what? Ain't no need to worry. It'll be all over in the morning. It'll be what Satan has an ability to do is make you feel like you're by yourself. But then you ought to get with other believers and say, "You know what? It's gonna be all right.
Yeah.
No, I remember when you was going through what I was going through, and it's gonna be
all right.
Because see, sometimes what God takes 12 years to take you through, you can deliver somebody else in 12 minutes. I say this all the time, and I'm going to my next one. It ain't, I get sick of people saying, "I don't look like what I've been through." I do.
Yeah.
No, I look like everything that I've been through. Because ain't nobody give me no cuts, no clean shots, no around, no ins and outs. I went through everything that I went through. And guess what? I'm a result. If you want to see what a miracle look like, look at me. Yes. I don't look like what I've been through. No, I don't look hard. I don't look like the unloving result of what I've been through. Because guess what? Every time he took me through something, he covered me. All right, first thing you see is our distance. Second thing you see is his demand. They said, how can we get back to you? See, they was pretty arrogant. And I like the children of Israel because they remind me of us. They get arrogant like we get arrogant. So they said some stuff that they probably shouldn't have said. But I like it because I would have said the same thing. So you say, how can I get close to you? You say, I left. How can I come back?
Yeah.
God said, well, you ain't going to like it. But you ask, how can we get back to you? God, I didn't even answer him. He just answered with a question. Will a man rob God?
Yeah.
Didn't let him answer, Kira. You ever had somebody not let you lie? I was listening to a master class, Whoopi Goldberg, and she was telling a story about how she went to the Nutcracker, but before she went, she was supposed to clean up her room, but she was late, so she left early, and she got ready to come back in the house, and her mom told her, don't leave without cleaning up your room. You can go to the Nutcracker, but clean your room before you go. She ran all the way back into the house and was getting ready to get in the house and realized she didn't have a key. And as she was trying to figure out a way to get in the house without her key, she heard the elevator stop. It was her mama. And she was dancing around the door with her mama, trying to get around her mama once her mama unlocked the door because her room wasn't clean. And her mama kept, you all right? You good? You need anything? What's wrong with you? I just need to get in the house. And so they danced around the door for about 5 minutes, and then the mama asked, did you clean your room before you went? She said, yes, ma'am, I did. I cleaned up. Then I went. So then she went over there and kept on dancing. Her mama stopped. Mama said, stay right here. Went in the room, looked at her, came back and said, your clean ain't my clean. And I don't think you touched it much. She said, then her mama got her. Not because she didn't clean the room. Because she lied.
That's it.
And sometimes most of us get in trouble because it ain't what you did. It's the lie you did to cover up. No, just take it. God says, will a man rob God? He didn't, question mark. That's written. Come on, school teachers. Y'all know that means that there's a question to be asked. The next person to talk should be the person answering the question. But he didn't allow them to answer because I ain't asking you, did you rob me? Because I know you
did.
How you know? Because it's my... He said, but I ain't going to ask you when, will you? Because I know you did. But now let me teach you how you did it.
Jesus.
With tithes and offerings.
Yeah.
See, I like the NIV because not only does he answer that in tithes and offerings, but see, watch this. He says, you are under a curse. King James says, even your whole nation. Because you are robbing me.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't talking about that and talking about getting big with God. Because if you want to get from under the curse, you got to stop the robbing.
That's right.
Hold on. Come on. Yes, Pastor.
Why I can't get my money right? Because you got somebody else's money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Amen.
I feel like my money just going out. See, the Bible has an answer for everything. The Bible says that if you rob God, it'll put holes in your pocket.
Oh my!
Okay, y'all. Okay, let me explain what giving to God literally is. The word tithe is a Hebrew word pronounced mazar, mazar. It literally means a tenth. So when people ask you, "Oh well, I don't know how you know that a tithe is a tenth," because it literally means a tenth. No, that's what it is. It's translated to mean it's a tenth of what you. Okay, click the next slide for me. I got Bible for it. Leviticus 27:30. Leviticus 27 and 30 says a tithe, but not only does he say a tithe is an offering, because in Leviticus he tells us what the tithe is from. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain or from soil, from fruit of the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is the holy to the Lord. Okay, well, he ain't say money. Well, that was what they changed for money then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You ain't got no oranges to bring it in. Ain't nobody growing no strawberries today. No, that's, oh, your increase ain't rice and grain. What's your increase? It's your money. Go clock in your job and clock out and let me pay you in rice. See how many weeks you showing up after that. Let me see how many weeks notice you gonna give me. Come on, y'all. I'm look, I ain't scared to talk about money because I give it. Watch this. But then we get it misconstrued, because once we get the tenth down, then we're trying to figure out how we gonna give the tenth.
Yeah.
I ain't giving money I ain't got. They only deposit $1,000 in my account. It ain't but $100. No. He says, a tithe of everything.
Wow. From the land. Everything.
Mm-hmm. Everything. Everything. That's gross.
Mm-hmm. Help us today.
Mm-hmm. Teach us how.
Not net. That's. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about his demand. Mm-hmm. What? Y'all don't want to talk to me this morning.
Lord.
Y'all don't want to talk to me this morning. That's gross. What's gross? Gross is everything.
Everything.
Not okay. The government took their money. No. Okay, let me explain to you how you should do this. Let me push this thing in another direction, because some of y'all gonna misconstrue this. So if you're gonna tithe off of your net, then you need to tithe off that income tax. Because that's the part they took. So if you're going to give a tithe off the net, then you need to tithe off that income tax that you were shouting about. Let us shout about. No, because the part that they took is what they give you back. Understand that your income tax is not an increase of money. It's not an overflow. It's them. You overpaid them through the year. So now they're giving you back.
Yeah.
See, I want to be like y'all. I want to shout about income tax. But me and my wife got extensions. Because we owes the peoples.
Yeah.
No,
we owes the people.
No, every quarter we got to cut a check.
Yeah.
Because
we owes the people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, ain't nobody give me no 5 cents. I wish they would. I owes the people. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Am I making sense?
Yes.
No, I don't, because people perish for the lack of knowledge. But if the tithe is of everything, that means every penny you get, that's an increase. Mm-hmm. So when I go to the boat, I need to pay tithes.
Yeah.
If you win, pay your tithes.
Yeah.
If you hit 2,000 now, bring it 200.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They say gambling is sin. I ain't said that.
Yeah.
Don't go. Don't get in that money. But get, if you hit the lottery, I want a tithe.
Amen.
God, I'm sorry. God wants a tithe. Y'all don't want to hear me. But it's my money. But it ain't. Because the earth is the
Lord and the fullness thereof.
Okay.
That's the Bible.
All right. Watch this. But then only that do you have to worry about. But you have to worry about the words he used. Because he didn't say, will a man steal from God? He says, well, a man rob God. Robbing and stealing is two different things, because Bernie Madoff stole from people.
Yeah.
He was able to get into their accounts and take some of their money. They gave him money for one thing. He used it for something else. He was stealing from people.
Yeah.
But people that run up to you in Kroger parking lot and put the gun to your head, they're robbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The difference between stealing and robbing is one is in your face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He didn't say y'all stealing from me.
Yeah.
Because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So when you decide not to give during tithing time, he says you're robbing me. But watch this. Don't think that you, when I say you're robbing me, means that you're keeping it. It means that I see you taking what's mine and saying that it's yours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And putting it back in your pocket and leaving with stolen goods. But the difference between what you do with God and what you do with Reliant is that he won't cut your lights off just because you took it.
Mm-hmm.
Lord. He just keeps a record.
Thank you, Lord.
So when you start, watch this. Listen to how crazy this is. You're not taking care of what he expected and wanted you to take care of. So then you start taking from him, but then asking him to give you money blessings. Your money short, you ask him to give you more, but he gave you 100% of it, asked you for 10 back. And now you saying, God, I need more than the 90 you left me with. He said, but I ain't got nothing to work with. Because you took the 10, I was going to multiply.
Help us.
And give you some more.
Help us.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Next one. His our distance, his demands. Third one is the reward. It says right here, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so there'll be food in my house. Trust me, and it says the Lord Almighty. He see, will I not throw open?
Yeah, Lord.
The floodgates of heaven is NIV. King James says he'll open up the window. Both of them are really good because I appreciate in King James because King James says he'll open up the windows and pour out the blessings. The reason I like them not because we all keep praying about God to open the door, but what I realize is when I walk around my house, I got way more windows than I got doors. So I appreciate him rewarding me because when I do it, watch this. Okay, not even I ain't gonna stick on that. But verse 10, he says right here, this is the part I want you to stick on, then I'm gonna go to my next thing. He says, I'll open, bring your whole tithe into the storehouse so that may be food in my house. This is one of the few promises God says. God says, test me.
Test.
Put
me to the test.
Try.
Yes, Lord.
Do it and try it. Mm-hmm. And watch it work. Do it and try it. Mm-hmm. Y'all missed it. Try me. Do what I asked you to do and try and see. Test me on it. Put some pressure on me. Put me to the test. You want to put everybody else to the test? Put me to the test. Give me a test of everything that you've done and watch me open the windows of heaven. Soon as you put me to test, I got, watch this. If you do it, he got to respond. Immediately, quicker than right now. Anybody seen God move quicker than? Faster than right now? I'll do it immediately. I open up the window and pour so much out that you won't have room enough to receive it. This is the last thing I'm going to get over to my next little part. Is that when you open the windows, when he opens the windows of heaven, pours out a blessing so much they won't have room enough to receive it. He's literally still talking about them getting fruits and vegetables and stuff like that. But don't run past that too quick because we understand that translates to what we use. Because what they had in fruits and vegetables was what they called currency, which is literally what we have for money today. It's money. But he was saying that if the fruits you bring, stuff you bring of your increase, if you bring it back to me, I'll give you so much you won't have room enough to receive it. He was literally saying that I would bless you so much that even your fields, you'll run out of land.
Yes, yeah.
Your barns would be too small.
Yeah.
Well, what that mean for us in currency? A friend of mine calls this term money with no assignment. He says that if you test me on this, I'll give you so much that you have money sitting in your account, you ain't got nothing to do with it.
Jesus.
No, it's just sitting there. Okay, I'm talking about in your savings account, but not in your savings account because you're trying to wait until you get the rest of it to pay the bill. It's in your savings account because you know it's going to be some stuff. You don't know what you're going to do. It ain't a rainy day fund.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't want to get with me? I ain't talking about a savings account. I ain't talking about a rainy day fund. I ain't talking about your retirement. I'm talking about your checking account.
Come on.
Got some money sitting out that you don't even know what you want to. No, we can go eat, but it ain't going to touch that.
Yeah.
Why? Because I've been tithing.
Yeah.
And he opened up the windows of heaven and poured out so much. I don't even know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Okay.